Glad to see visitors that we have. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mike for asking me to preach in his absence. It's always a pleasure to get before congregation here and preach God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." Well, Paul tells us in this verse, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So today I'm here to try, like Paul, to persuade you to be all that you can be for God. Because see, now there's only three classes of people in this world. You have the saved, the lost, and the fallen away. So if you're here, you're in one of those three classes. Now, I, like you, am aware of the ongoing conflict that goes on and has been going on. And the conflict I'm referring to is between God and Satan, good and evil, truth and error. And everyone here, again, is on one of these sides as well. And there's no middle ground. But we do know that God wants everybody to be saved in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. So this morning, I want to ask, why should you be a Christian? Well, first, so that you can glorify God. Because it's only being in Christ that one can glorify God. And it's only in Christ that one can bear fruit for Christ. Turn over to John chapter 15 and we'll see this. John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So, Christians are the only ones that's in the body. And when I say in the body, I'm meaning the body of Christ. The church represents the body of Christ. So only Christians are in the body, and only Christians have their name written in the book of life. And you can see that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, God is also glorified in the church. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So the verse tells us that God is glorified through the church. So the only way to glorify God is to be in the body or be in the church, which means you have to be a Christian. Now, next, you ought to want to be a Christian so that you can fulfill your responsibilities as a parent. Because we know that the children that we bring in this world, we're responsible for. We must teach them, train them, provide for them, nurture them, control them and what they do, and we do that because we love them. Now, I'm going to ask this silly question here, but do you love your child? Because a parent who truly loves their child wants their child or children to go to heaven and would want them to spend the eternity in paradise that John describes to us in Revelation, where the streets are gold or made of gold. There's no night there, no fear, no pain, no sorrow. And what parent here today doesn't want those things for their child? So the best way to make sure that your child does go to heaven is by setting a proper example. Because we know that children would like to emulate their parents and do what the parents do. And I got a poem here I'd like to read that I thought was very fitting, dealing with parents and children. It's entitled, As the Twig is Bent. A small girl urged with pleading tones, her little face aglow, "The time has come for Bible class. Please, Daddy, won't you go? They teach us there of Jesus's love and how he died for all and how he wants to save the ones who listen to his call." "Oh, no," said Daddy, "not today. I've worked hard all week, and I must have one day of rest. I'm going to the creek, for there I can relax and rest, and the fishing is fine, they say. So run along, don't bother me. We'll worship God someday." Now the months and years have passed away, and we hear the plea no more. "Please, Daddy, go to the Bible class. The childhood days are o'er. And now that Daddy's growing old, when life is almost through, he finds time to worship God, but what does daughter do?" She says, "Oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up most all night, and I've just got to have some sleep. Besides, I look a fright." Then Daddy lifts a trembling hand to brush away his tears, and in his heart he hears again, distinctly through the years, a small girl urge with pleading tones, her little face aglow, "The time has come for Bible class. Please, Daddy, won't you go?" That hit me pretty hard, you know. I hope it does you too, because we have a lot of influence over our children. Now, this poem, like I said, is a good example of the influence that we have over our children. So we need to try to do everything we can to influence them in the right way. Well, now, next you should want to be a Christian so that you can be a good member of society. Now, everyone here today is aware of the unfortunate rapid decay of our society. You know, we have breakup of the homes, unwed mothers, children born out of wedlock, children growing up without dads, moms and dads. Homosexuality is thrown up in your face everywhere you look. And the very morals of this society are just appalling. But you know, amongst all of this world and all this decay of our society, God tells us that we should be a light amidst this darkness, and that we should be a salt. Because we know that salt can destroy things, but it also can purify things. And let's turn over and look about that in Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 13 is where we'll start. Matthew 5:13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So Christians preserve the ideals of Christ and can prevent further decay. So if you want to be a good member of society, you ought to be a Christian. Now next, you ought to be a Christian because it is profitable in this life. Now, Don't take me wrong, we're not to follow God looking for what we can get and for all the material things we can get. But the fact does remain, though, that a Christian can still profit by living a godly life. Let's look at some of the ways we can profit. Well, it profits materially. In Matthew chapter 6, since you're already there, verse number 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we have to seek Him first, and then God will give us what He wants us to have and what He thinks we need. So now, in saying that, God does teach us, though, that to get these things, though, we have to be honest. We have to be industrious, courteous, economical, diligent, and all these are the very things that make a business a success. These are the qualities of a successful person. In Psalm 37, verse 25, David said it best, "I've been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So it pays materially to be a Christian. Now also, it pays physically, because God teaches us that we are to be temperate, patient, loving, kind, pure of heart, and cheerful. And these are the very things which promote and make possible a long and healthy life. Because if we're temperate, we will not do things which will hurt our body. If we're pure of heart, we will not do things that can lead to diseases and other things that are passed from person to person. So it pays physically. It also pays socially. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was a boy, he was teaching in the synagogue to men who had many more years of teaching in the Word and studying the Word. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. But it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So if we're a Christian, we can gain favor with men of honor in the world. Well, why would we want that? Well, because God's words teaches us that as Christians, we are to be honest, friendly, patient, trustworthy. And these are the very things that the world admires about people. So if you possess these characteristics, and if you're a Christian, the world will admire you for it. So it pays socially to be a Christian. Now it pays spiritually to be a Christian. Look in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 26, I'll be referring to. Matthew 16, verse number 26. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man exchange for his soul?" So our soul is pretty important. And now Jesus taught in here that our soul is our most prized possession. It's not our homes, rings, cars, material things. No, it's our soul. Well, now how valuable is our soul? Well, first, it cost God His Son. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it also cost Christ His life in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So from these standpoints, our soul is priceless. And that's exactly what God said in Matthew 16, verse 26. So it pays spiritually to be a Christian. Now, I want to ask, what is it going to cost you not to become a Christian? Think about it. Well, we'll sacrifice. It'll be a sacrifice of a peaceful conscience, perfect security, sacrifice of seeing Jesus on the judgment day. And it will cost you the sacrifice of Jesus acknowledging you one day. Matthew 10, verse 32. He who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. So, at the end of the day, it will cost your eternal life in heaven. That's what it will cost. So, if there's anyone here who has not put on Christ, been baptized for their sins, I'd ask that you would come forward while we have the opportunity, because we're not promised 2 hours from now. We're not promised tomorrow. But if you're already a Christian and you've been tempted and fell back into the world, I'd ask that you would come forward also as we stand and sing.